Narayana namaskritya narum cevam narottamam devim saraswati vyasam tito jayam udhirayat nasta prayiswa badrisu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavata uttam sloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki om namo bhagavate vasudevaya om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Hare Krishna. Good morning to all devotees on the call. So, this morning's text is going to be from Canto 11 of Srimad Bhagavatam. Canto 11, Chapter 2, to be specific. And by the mercy of devotees listening, those who listen later, those who are my guides, Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktivedanta Swami, in the Parampara. Hopefully, this will be the beginning of another phase of the teaching of Srimad Bhagavatam that I'll be used to do as a service. So we're going now from the fifth canto to the 11th canto. The fifth canto, chapter 14, was the last place that we're at. We finished that. The reason for choosing 11th canto chapter 2 is actually there is a connection between Jatparad and here. Family connection. So Maharaj Bharat was the one who, including that lifetime as Bharat Maharaj, it took three lifetimes for him to go back to the spiritual world. One as Bharat Maharaj himself, second as the deer body, and third as Jatparat, whose wisdom we have been reading about and sharing as a service. So, in the 11th canto, it's going to be ultimately about the wisdom from the Navayugendras. Now, Navayugendras are brothers of Bharat Maharaj. Their father is Maharaj Vrishabhadev. And so that's where the connection is. Because Bharat Maharaj was the one who two lifetimes later became Jatparat, the deer body, and then Jatparat. And he was a first son of Maharaj Vrishabhadev, who is from King Nabi's line. And the Navayugendras are also 9 out of the 100 sons of King Vrishabhadev, plenary expansion of Vasudev. So, there is no Sanskrit directly there from the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is a summary section. So, Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, chapter 2, summary. And then, of course, we will start with the first text and so on after that. Depending on how things go, I'm just a servant. So, Oma ginat mirandasya gyana gyana shalakaya chakchu umilitam jena tasmai sri gurube namaha sri chitanya manovistam stapitam jena bhutale swayam rupa kadamayam dadati swapadantikam vandeham sri guru sri vita padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavam Sicha Sri Rupa Saga Jatam Sagana Ragunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sabadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Pada Sagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitam Sicha E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Kopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Panamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpat Rubhyascha Kripa Sundibhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sivashari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare. Hari Ram, 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 Hari Hari. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutane, Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamine. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini, Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshacharini. Namo Mahabhadanyaya Krishna Prima Padayati, Vishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Guyachi Shainama, Ananda Lila Maya Vigvahaya, Himabhya Divecha Vishunirai, Tasmi Mahaprema Raspadaya, Shri Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste, Shri Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste, Shri Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste, Shri Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste. Hare Krishna. So we'll go right into Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 2, Summary. So I'll read that. Now, the title is Maharaj Nimi Meets the Nine Yugendras. So ultimately, that's what we're going to be talking about in this chapter 2. So here's a summary. In this chapter, Narad, that's Narada Muni, gives instructions on Bhagavad Dharma to the faithful and inquisitive Vasudev, that is Krishna's father, the husband of, anyway, I won't get into too much detail, but Devaki. Narada gives instruction in Bhagavad Dharma to the faithful and inquisitive Vasudev by recounting a conversation between Maharaj Nimi and the nine Yugendras. Greatly eager to see Lord Krishna, Devarshi Narad resided almost exclusively in Dwarka. Vasudev, again, that's Krishna's father, bewildered by the Lord's illusory potency, had previously offered worship to the Supreme Lord Ananta for the purpose of getting a son, but failed to worship him for liberation. Once Narad arrived at the home of Vasudev, who worshipped him according to proper etiquette, greeted him respectfully, and requested to hear about pure devotional service, which frees one from all kinds of fear. Narad praised Vasudev's fixed intelligence and then related the ancient history of the conversation between the nine Yugendras, who were sons of Lord Rishabhadev, and Nimi, the king of Videha. Swayambhu Manu's son was Priyavrata. His son was Agnidra, whose son was Nabi. Lord Rishabhadev, the plenary function of Vasudev, expansion of Krishna, incarnated as a son of Nabi. The oldest of Rishabhadev's 100 sons was Bharat, an exalted devotee of Narayan, whose name this earth, previously called Ajanabha Bharsa, became famous as Bharat Bharsa. Nine other sons of Rishabhadev were widely known as the Navayugendras. Here are the names: Kavi, Havis, Antariksha, Prabhud, Pipalayan, Abhihotra, Drumil, Chamas, and Karabhaja. They were well versed in knowledge of the self, fixed in their goal, and always striving for perfection. Nine other sons of Rishabhadev took on the duty of Kshatriyas and became masters of the nine dvipas, comprising Paradvasha. Dvipas, by the way, are islands. We'll get to that. His other 81 sons became brahmanas, expert in Smriti doctrines, who propagated the path of fluidic sacrifice. The nine Yugendras, free to move without impediment, traveled everywhere as they wished. They were direct associates of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Madhusudan, and wandered freely to give protection to the various planets in the universe. The human body can be lost at any moment, but it is still a very rare attainment. Still rarer is to get the association of the confidential devotees of the Lord of Vaikuntha while in this very human body. The association of such saintly persons, even for a fraction of a second, bestows all benefits on a living being. Therefore, King Nimi offered the 9 Yugendras suitable seats, worshipped them, humbled himself with obeisances, and joyfully inquired from them about Bhagavad Dharma. Bhagavad Dharma, or pure devotional service to the Lord, is the only means of ultimate good fortune for the soul. The Supreme Lord, being pleased by such service, offers his own self to the devotee. In answer to the king's question, one of the 9 Yugendras, Kavi, spoke as follows. Those means of advancement which are described by the personality of Godhead himself and which enable even foolish persons to easily achieve perfect self-realization are called Bhagavad Dharma. This Bhagavad Dharma, manifested as service to the lotus feet of the infallible Supreme Lord, eradicates all fear for the living being. By abiding in Bhagavad Dharma, one would never stumble or fall, even while running with both eyes closed. Whatever one does with his body, mind, words, intelligence, consciousness, senses, and natural proclivities should all be offered to Lord Narayan. Living entities averse to the Lord's lotus feet come under the control of the Lord's illusory energy, Maya. They forget the Lord's identity and are trapped by the illusion of identifying with a temporary body. Under the sway of material attraction, they become greatly fearful. Thus, the best thing for them is to surrender their very life energy to a qualified guru and execute worship of the Supreme Lord, the absolute controller of Maya, with pure devotion. Just as by eating, one gradually appeases his hunger and with every bite feels more and more satisfied and nourished, a surrendered devotee achieves detachment from all objects other than Krishna, gains direct personal experience of the Lord, and relishes pure love for the Lord all simultaneously. Next, Habis spoke, describing the different characteristics of first class, second class, and third class devotees. One who offers prescribed worship with faith to the deity of Lord Vishnu, but has no devotion for Vaishnavas and things related to Vishnu, is a materialistic devotee. One who shows love for the Lord, friendship for the Lord's devotees, mercy for the ignorant, and indifference for the enemies of Vishnu and the Vaishnavas is an intermediate devotee. And one who sees the presence of the Supreme Lord in everything and sees everything within the Lord is the topmost devotee. The first class devotees are described in 8 verses, which conclude by stating that the first class devotee keeps the Supreme Lord perpetually fastened to his own heart with ropes of affection. Lord Hari never leaves the heart of such a devotee. Lord Hari never leaves the heart of such a devotee. Hare Krishna. Vanchakalpat rubyascha kripa sunibhya eva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Jai. So this is the summary of Canto 11, Chapter 2. We chose Chapter 2 because we want to do the service of reading and also commenting by, of course, the help and guidance of the Parampara, including my guru. The wisdom that comes from Maharaj Nimi questioning the 9 Yugendras, Nava Yugendras, sons of Maharaj Shabadev, about Bhagavad Dharma. There were 9 of them. 9 questions were posed. 1 question for each of them, These are highly elevated devotees. In a lecture that I read online, Śrīla Prabhupāda described the nine yogendras based on the ashrams. Varnashram, we should say Varnashram. The Varnas, four Varnas. Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, four ashrams. Usually we start from the bottom. Brahmachari, because the growth that way. Then Grihastha, then Vanapras, retired situation. Brahmachari, beginner, student. Grihastha, married couple in Krishna consciousness. And Vanapras, retired couple, that's when the children are raised. And then sannyas, when a person is 100% devoted to Krishna consciousness and not in marriage anymore. So, Śrīla Prabhupāda described the nine yogendras in the ashram. The nine yogendras were sannyasis, all nine of them. Bhart Maharaj was the first of the 100 sons. He was the firstborn. He became king after Maharaj Rishabhadev left the kingdom. Maharaj Rishabhadev is a plenary expansion of Vasudev, Krishna. And so, Bhart Maharaj was the one chosen, and he's the one who two lifetimes later became Jatparat. We've been reading about Jatparat's wisdom to Maharaj Rahugan for the last, I don't know how many months now. The king, Maharaj Rishabhadev, told his sons to help the first son, Bhart Maharaj, with his duties. And they did just that. But not all of them did that. Some of them did that. Śrīla Prabhupāda says that in that particular lecture that I'm talking about, that he said that the nine yogendras were sannyasis. So they did not help Bhart Maharaj, their brother, directly. But they did even a bigger service to universes. They traveled, they preached. As Śrīla Prabhupāda says, they are associates of Lord Vasudev, Krishna Vasudev. So, they were so much helpful in that sense. Spiritual information was what they were going around giving. Bhagavatam everywhere. Just like Narada Muni himself was giving Bhagavatam also. So, it is described here that, and we'll find out from the first chapter, it talks about, not the first chapter, the first text, 11:2:1, we'll find out later on. It talks about Narada Muni, especially the fact that he liked to be at Dwarka a lot. And they would connect to some, would connect even to Daksha later on. So that's all coming up. Now, Narada gives instructions in Bhagavad Dharma to the faithful and inquisitive Vasudev by recounting a conversation between Maharaj Nimi and the Navayugendras. So it's Narada that's going to be speaking about Maharaj Nimi and the nine yogendras. Why? Well, Narada visited Dwarka. Well, actually, he's not even visited Dwarka. He resided almost exclusively in Dwarka. Why? Because Narada was greatly eager to see Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna also sends Narada on different missions. So definitely, Narada Muni being around Lord Krishna was the best thing for service to Krishna anyway. Because whenever Krishna needed a particular pastime to unfold in a certain way, and he involved Narada and most of the time Yogamaya also, Narada had specific instructions given to him by Lord Krishna. Narada was very much in love with Lord Krishna. There's a whole history about Narada's life in the Narada Samhita. That'll probably be for another time. There is some of that in the Srimad Bhagavatam, but there's more of it. God is Samhita. So greatly eager to see Lord Krishna, Shripapa is writing in the summary here, Devash Narada resided almost exclusively in Dwarka. Now we know he travels around the world, the worlds, material world and spiritual world. But as he finishes doing whatever he's doing and preaches and gives so much blessings, sometimes direct blessings, sometimes the hard way by cursing those who were wrong, but the curse becomes a blessing later on. Narada would return. And at the time Krishna was in Dwarka, Narada would come to Dwarka. So that's what Shripapa says, greatly eager to see Lord Krishna, Devashi Narada resided almost exclusively in Dwarka. What have we been told to do? Well, we should aspire to live in a solitary place. Well, these days, is it possible to have a solitary place? Now, unless you are in a farm community, you probably are not in a solitary place. Or unless you are in the Himalayas somewhere, or places that you really can be in the woods. See, Papa doesn't even advise you to do that now. So what's our solitary place? Well, we can make our homes very Krishna conscious. And by changing the energy in our homes from material to spiritual, then that would be our place where we disconnect from much of the material disturbances. And we've chosen the word disturbances advisedly. Spiritual life is the most important. Those in the spiritual world live life normally, spiritually, in great love for each other. We don't have that here in the material world because most of us don't understand what love, deep love, really means. And not only is that a problem there, even those who understand what deep love really means, they only go to some extent to show it, but not fully. Because if they showed the way they really love each other, the way it is in the spiritual world, most people will miscue it. They wouldn't understand. And as we grow in Krishna consciousness, we'll find that to be true ourselves. That there are restrictions because Maya can step in at any time. And even when pure love is being showed, it can be sometimes looked at differently. And for good reason. Because some people find it a little difficult to distinguish between love and lust. And it may be read that way. That's a whole topic in itself. I won't even belabor it so much. Vasudev, now we're talking about Vasudev as Vasudev, the husband of Devaki, who Krishna took birth from. Vasudev, bewildered by the Lord's illusory potency, had previously offered worship to the Supreme Lord Ananta, that's connected with Balaram, for the purpose of getting a son, but had failed to worship him for liberation. So this will be talked about later on, to a greater extent, in the chapter itself, chapter 2 of Canto 11. Once, now here begins the story. Narada arrived at the home of Vasudev, and Vasudev worshipped him according to proper etiquette. He greeted Narada respectfully, and then when Narada was nicely seated, Vasudev requested that Narada tell him about pure devotion service, which frees one from all kinds of fear. Srila Prabhupada has put this thing here. Frees one from all kinds of fear. That is what we'll begin to realize. When we're growing in Krishna consciousness, it will become less and less and less and less fearful. And we're not talking about fear, gross fear of something that can in fact happen to the physical body. And when that's coming, the fear. Like if you see an accident getting ready to happen, people automatically panic. That type of fear. That's material fear. But there's also spiritual fear. The fear of losing out spiritually. The fear of not connecting to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is fear that devotees understand. Many times, this spills into real life in the following way. A person that's advancing in Krishna consciousness won't be as concerned about not doing some things materially. But when it comes to the spiritual duties, if anything goes wrong slightly and they're looking at themselves as the reason why it went wrong, they become fearful. Because a person that wants to grow, really wants to grow in Krishna consciousness, does not take spiritual responsibilities lightly at all, at any time. The physical body may sometimes give problems. That's understandable. We're not talking about that. When the physical body is in fact ready to do, and for some reason, the mind tripped into doing something material when they were supposed to do something spiritual at that time. Or that we got some situation that came and it seemed to disturb us so much, and it's a material situation, that we adjusted so much so that at the end of the day, we're looking at not having completed the number of rounds, the minimum number of rounds. That's what we're talking about here. And if we're not fearful of that situation, then that says that we have some more growing to do. Of course, there's always room for improvement. But we should be very concerned if we're about to chant 16 rounds and we don't. 16 rounds is already a break from 64 rounds. So then what excuse do we have to tell Krishna if we don't do it? So that should generate real concern. And that kind of concern is the measure of fear, that spiritual fear that we were talking about earlier. So to come back to the summary, Narada praised Vasudeva's fixed intelligence and then related the ancient history of the conversation between the 9 Yugendras who were sons of Rishabhadev, and that conversation was between Yugendras and Maharaj Nimi, the king of Videha. So when Vasudev seated Narada comfortably, then Vasudev asked Narada to talk about Bhagavad Dharma, pure devotional service. And Narada's response was not to talk about that directly. First, he praised Vasudev for asking that kind of question. It takes a very intelligent person, fixed in Krishna consciousness, to ask a question like that. So Narada praised Vasudev for asking that question. And then, because Bhagavad Dharma had been described by the 9 Yugendras to Maharaj Nimi, Narada chose to bring that up and relate how Maharaj Nimi's questions were answered, one question after another, 9 questions to 9 Yugendras. And that's what covers this particular part of Srimad Bhagavatam. So Prabhupada goes into a little bit of history. Swayambhuva Manu, the first Manu, that's Swayambhuva Manu. His son was Priyavrata. And Priyavrata, his son was Agnida. Priyavrata didn't even want to be part of this whole thing about being a Kshatriya, being a king. The whole in Srimad Bhagavatam discussion about him. He actually went in meditation, but then there was a king that was needed. And again, the history is long there. That's another part of Srimad Bhagavatam. Maybe we can talk about that another time after we finish this part. But Swayambhuva Manu's son was Priyavrata. There are 14 Manus in the day of Lord Brahma. First Manu, Swayambhuva Manu. His son was Agnidra, and Agnidra's son was Nabi, and Nabi's son was Maharaj Shabadev, the plenary portion of Krishna, Vasudev. So he took birth there, and the oldest of Rishabhadev 100 sons was Bharat, an exalted devotee of Narayan, by whose name in this earth was called Bharat Vasha. The 9 other sons, so it's like, this is all a little review here. 9 other sons of Rishabhadev were widely known as the Navayugendras, and the names are given Kavi, Havis, Antariksh, Prabuddha, Pipalayan, Abhirhotra, Drumila, Chamas, and Karabaja. They were well versed in the knowledge of the self, Bhagavad Dharma, fixed in their goal, that is preaching around, just like Narada does, and always striving for perfection. Nine other sons took the duties as Kshatriyas and became masters of the nine islands which comprise Padvarsha. Then other 81 sons of Brahmanas, in other words, this is, anyway, not counting too much. The other 81 sons became Brahmanas. 100 sons total. They become Brahmanas, expert in Smriti doctrines. Shruti, then Smriti. Shruti, that's the scriptures by hearing. Smriti, corollaries resulting from the Shruti. That's Smriti. The nine Yugendras, they were free to move around without impediment. As the Prabhupada mentioned, they were in the sannyasa ashram. They traveled everywhere as they wished. They were direct associates of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Madhusudan, and then he wandered freely to give protection to the various planets in the universe. Now, what kind of protection is being talked about here? Wasn't like they were Kshatriyas, they were sannyasis, so they were not really giving protection in the material sense. They were giving protection in a spiritual sense. They were protecting the souls of everyone that they came in contact with by preaching Bhagavad Dharma according to what that particular soul needed. People are at different levels of growth spiritually. And so the expert teacher, in this case, the Navi Yugendras, would teach, basically answering questions, if the questions were posed to them, or based on what was going on, they would relate it to Bhagavad Dharma, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Religion about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Dharma, the duty, connected, one's duty, that's connected with service. In other words, Bhakti Yoga, same thing as Bhagavad Dharma. Then Srila Prabhupada says, the human body can be lost at any moment, but it is still a very rare attainment. The human body can be lost at any moment. That means death can come at any time. And as far as that was concerned, Srila Prabhupada mentioned the situation with Maharaj Parikshit, who was cursed to leave this earth in 7 days. He was assured, Srila Prabhupada says, he was assured of 7 days. So he could prepare himself, and he did just that. He left the kingdom to his sons, and then he went and took residence in the bank of the Ganges. He went into meditation. Krishna arranged for his spiritual master to come give him shiksha. Shukadeva Goswami, who had been born in Vyasadeva, he came to that spot. Many, many highly elevated devotees also came. Some from different universes came. And they all were ready to listen to what happens to a person who is getting ready to leave the body very soon. And Srila Prabhupada said that Maharaj Parikshit had 7 days assured. But what do we have? We don't even have 7 minutes assured. As my Guru Maharaj likes to put it, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, we can leave at any time. And he gives an example. The person that was crossing the light, traffic light, at green, he had way to cross. He had the right of way legally when the light is green. And the other side is supposed to be red. But a rogue, a rascal, that wanted to go through the light because he was being impatient, and went through the red light and hit them. The person was doing the right thing, going through a green light, broadsided them and killed them. That person didn't know death was coming around the corner. Probably didn't even see it coming. So we can leave it at any time. This is one example he gave. So Maharaj Parikshit could prepare for leaving the body. The other thing about Maharaj Parikshit was also, it was a chance for him to go to the spiritual world. Of course, we benefited by him listening to Srimad Bhagavatam from Shukadeva Goswami. So, yes, spiritual activities were there, but the human body can be lost at any time. We don't have assured time. Still rarer is to get the association of the confidential devotees of the Lord, of Vaikuntha. Still rarer than that. The human body can be lost at any moment, but it's still a very rare attainment. So didn't we talk about rare before we talk about rarer, so I apologize. It is a rare attainment because it is the escape body. It is a body that has the intelligence high enough to understand why we're here if we want to inquire about it and how to get out, which is given by the pure devotees of the Lord who preach Krishna consciousness like Srila Prabhupada did. How to get out. We are in a suffering condition. So, anyone that comes to tell us, explain the illusion that we're in, thinking that we can be okay or we are okay depending on material things we have, when in fact everybody is suffering, the person that comes to tell us that is a very rare person to come in contact with. That is the part where Srila Prabhupada has been. Still rarer is to get the association of the confidential devotees of the Lord while being in this very human body. So the human body is rare to obtain because 8 million types of bodies are not human. They cannot understand Krishna consciousness. They cannot chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. But the human bodies, only less than 5% of the total 100% types of the physical bodies, that percentage, 400,000 out of 8,400,000, that small percentage, it's actually 4.75%, can understand Krishna and can relate to troubles in this world and can prepare, if they want, to get out of this world, if they want to understand, if they want to hear that this is a place of suffering. Now, devotees are still even rarer because, one, they've gotten the associates of the confidential devotees of the Lord, the association of the confidential devotees of the Lord. And also, they are taking what they're hearing seriously. They're working on themselves in terms of what it is that they have to shed. It's called purification, if you well know. And by the mercy of Guru and Gauranga, you're growing spiritually. Everybody that's in Krishna consciousness is growing. Now, the rate at which they're growing, that varies widely. If we take the process seriously, we grow more quickly. Realizations come. If we take the process, that is what we are being instructed to do, the hearing and the chanting. Those are the two main things that one has to do. There are 7 more processes, but the hearing which guides us and the chanting which connects us to the Lord, Harinam, the Lord is absolute, so his name is also Krishna. So we connect to Krishna by the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, and we hear about Krishna for guidance and also for excitement. In fact, all our moods can be dealt with or can be connected to Krishna consciousness. All our moods. So hearing and chanting are the primary things to do, and everything follows. All the other processes follow. When we chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, from our hearts, and we hear for guidance at all levels, then the conviction increases in Krishna consciousness. And with that conviction, Then a mind and the intelligence can work together to decide to do all the other services from our hearts. That's where the growth is. Remembering Krishna, serving his lotus feet, offering obeisances, serving the deity, praying, becoming Krishna's friend in love, becoming Krishna's servant in love, and giving everything, surrendering fully again in love. It is all connected to attaining Krishna prema, ultimately. Srila Prabhupada says, the association of such saintly persons, even for a fraction of a second, bestows all benefits on a living being. I remember the first one-on-one meeting that I had with Bhaktivedanta Maharaj. At that time, I was a bhakta. I wasn't initiated. I think 3 years later, I was initiated. So, in that conversation, Bhaktivedanta Maharaj told me something that I never forgot. He said, at that time, I didn't know what it meant, but he planted it at the back of my mind. In fact, it were two statements, but he said it in one sentence. He says, it is rare to be in the audience, that is, in the presence of a pure devotee of the Lord. That was one statement. The second statement, it says, it is more rare to be in the presence and to know that you are in the presence of a pure devotee of the Lord. He didn't say he was a pure devotee. He just said it is rare to be in the presence of a pure devotee of the Lord, and it is more rare to be in the presence and to know that you are in the presence of a pure devotee of the Lord. So many things were picked up later on that connected, picked up by me, that is, later on, that connected to this. Srila Prabhupada is a pure devotee. Some of us didn't get a chance to see him. But even if you see a video of him, or you hear his voice, it has an effect. Why? Because my Guru Maharaj explained to me that when you're hearing, and when you're looking and hearing, that's video, or hearing, that's audio, you are connecting with the person that's speaking. That is true spiritually. So, when we hear, we are connecting. And the best thing is to connect with the pure devotee of the Lord, because his business is to connect you with Krishna consciousness, Bhagavad Dharma. And that's why Vasudeva was smart enough that when he got visited by Narada Muni, and of course he did the proper thing as far as etiquette goes, respected him, treated him nicely, situated him, welcomed him well, everything according to what had to be done. This was in Dwarka. Narada Muni himself was going because Krishna was there, but he went to visit Krishna's father in the pastime, Vasudeva. And Vasudeva asked about Bhagavad Dharma. So what is it telling us? The best thing in the world to do is inquire about Bhagavad Dharma. What our prime occupation is. Savai punsam paro dharmo yato bhakti ahokteje ahoitiki apatiyata tejatma supersiditi. The most important thing that anyone could do in this world, if they are smart enough, is to connect with that occupation that satisfies Krishna's senses. And that is devotional service. We will never be happy in any other way. The soul is never happy unless they are, but the soul is connected to activities in devotion to Krishna and Krishna's devotees according to the instructions of Krishna and Guru. According to the way Lord Gauranga showed us by how he lived his life. If we go on and on and on, and we should in devotional service, the realization will finally come that everything that I've tried to do in this world materially to be satisfied, the satisfaction never really came. It never really came. At some point I thought I was okay because of wealth, some point I was okay because of other things too that were working materially my way and I liked it. But I realize now it was only temporary and it satisfied my senses and there's a problem with it. Permanent happiness is not there. You can never get it unless you worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead according to His instructions. So the first question, Kabi, who is one of the nine Yugendras, he answered it. Actually, the question is, what is the highest good? But that's a whole set of texts that will come later. But this is Kabi answering that question. What's the highest good? Those means of advancement which are described by the Personality of Godhead Himself and which enable even the downtrodden persons, the foolish persons, to easily achieve perfect self-realization, those statements, the means of advancement, those together are called Bhagavad Dharma. And then Kavi, one of the nine Yugendras, continues, this Bhagavad Dharma manifested as service to the lotus feet of the infallible Supreme Lord. The Bhagavad Dharma manifested, that's called devotional service. Bhagavad Dharma is the occupation itself, described about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then how we do it, it's called devotional service. Service from our hearts to the Lord. So this Bhagavad Dharma manifested as service to the lotus feet of the infallible Supreme Lord. And I could put infallible there, Supreme Lord. Krishna is a winner of winners. He's the greatest winner in everything. Because everything is under His control. Now, what does it do? It eradicates, it takes away, it deletes all fear for the living being. By abiding in this Bhagavad Dharma, one will never stumble or fall, even while running with both eyes closed. So, in the manner of speaking, Sri Kabi said that you can't go wrong with devotional service. Even if you blindly follow devotional service, do what you're supposed to do because you believe in Guru, and Guru is the one that's guiding, and Guru is bona fide, and He says do that, and you do that, do this, and you do this, and you go on without understanding the intricate ideas in the Shastra, you still will be successful. And there's so many examples, those that I know, in Giranagri that have left, they didn't know much about Dharma, they wanted to hear, they served the service, Dresden, Daganabada, Subhadra, I'm talking about Giranagri in particular, in Port Royal, Pennsylvania. This is Prabhupada's disciple, Mataji. She milked the cows. She would not preach. She would sing bhajans, kirtans, heard lectures from Srila Prabhupada, milked the cows, cooked, and went back to Godhead after he left the body. So the Shastra is telling us that the conclusion, the summit of all things, is to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His devotees with our hearts. That's devotional service. And when we do that, even if we are blind to the intricacies of the descriptions in the Shastra, that's like running with your eyes closed, serving and not knowing the theoretical part of things, but serving from our hearts because we believe in the spiritual master and we do what he says to do. And the spiritual master is bona fide. That's the bottom line. And Kabi is describing that. Bhagavad Dharma manifested as service to the lotus feet of the infallible Supreme Lord, eradicates all fear for the living being. And when we abide by that, one will never stumble or fall. Why? Because when we're in Krishna's camp, and Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead in control of everything, how can one stumble? How can one fall? When we come under the protection of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, what may seem to be challenging to us are only lessons that we learn. That's all. You will find that out. But the Lord will never put us down and out. Sometimes we feel that we're down, but that's when our minds are bothering us because we're learning lessons and we're not advanced enough to realize that lessons are being put in our way. So then Kabi continues, whatever one does with the body, mind, words, intelligence, consciousness, senses, and everything else that we have a tendency to do should all be offered to Lord Narayan. Should all be offered to Lord Narayan. Krishna himself says in the Bhagavad Gita, he says everything you eat, what you do, everything you offer, all of the tapasya that you go through should all be offered to me. Why? Is it because he's so greedy he wants everything? No. Krishna says, you relate to me, I relate to you. And so if you offer more to me, I offer more to you. If you offer everything to me, well, then you are my devotee fully. Full control. You allow Krishna to take full control of your life, you'll be happy and happy and happy and be the happiest. So, that's what Kavi is describing. And in fact, when it comes to the details of it in a different text, Sri Kavi, the highest good, he's the one that will spend quite a bit of time on the one text after another, quite a few texts where Kavi explains what the highest good is, linking devotion and service. We'll be on it for quite a few weeks. So, whatever one does with his body or his mind or his words, his intelligence, his consciousness, his senses, to be like Maharaj Ambarish, natural proclivities, all should be offered to Lord Narayan. Now, Shipapa continues to summary. Living entities who are not connecting with the Lord's lotus feet, then they come under the control of the illusory energy, Maya, and in particular, Mahamaya, one that makes us totally confused about life, even though we think that we're doing well. Those people forget the Lord's identity, and then they are trapped in the illusion of identifying with the temporary body. And that is the problem. We identify with the temporary body as ourselves. That is the root cause of all the problems going on in the world. And then, material attraction, that way, things here, and let's talk about this planet, on this earth, whatever we can get, we want more power. They become greatly fearful. Under the sway of material attraction, they become greatly fearful. It's a big statement talking about what's going on in the whole world. Right now, the nations, we'll bring it to international level, the nations striving, so-called powerful nations, striving to be number one, are going through the military way, and of course the economic way also. And what's happened? They've got to the point where everybody's fearful. All the nations are fearful because they have come up with a weapon that they know that there is no winning when it comes to war. And Srila Prabhupada has also said it. Nuclear bombs are used, it's all over. So there is no situation where one country can come up on top if nuclear war comes about. But the big nations, so-called, have prepared themselves with stockpiles of nuclear weapons. Therefore, they have put themselves in a situation where they have to be fearful. Every country that's a nuclear power is part of the fear. Because any country that starts that, even sometimes we talked about even the mistake, thinking that somebody is getting ready to throw a nuclear bomb one country or another, and they want to respond. That mistake, if that means that thinking that the bomb can be thrown when in fact it hasn't been thrown, but the computers are saying a bomb is coming, and so there's the need for the other person, another country to retaliate, and that starts the nuclear war by mistake. Even that can cause mankind to be wiped out. Now, of course, we know that we're not the bodies, right? So the soul cannot be dealt with in any kind of negative way by a nuclear weapon. So they're the ones that worry because they're attached to the illusion of identifying with the temporary material body. So the best thing for everyone, including those who are in illusion, is to surrender their very life energy to a qualified guru and execute the worship of the Supreme Lord, the absolute controller of Maya, with pure devotion. So, a surrendered devotee achieves detachment from all objects other than Krishna, and gains direct personal experience of the Lord, and relishes pure love for the Lord, all of that simultaneously. A surrendered devotee, you get a detachment from objects that are material, you gain direct personal experience of the Lord through his devotees, and through the Guru, and through the Archavigraha, the deity, and relishes pure love for the Lord all simultaneously. Then Havis also spoke. We'll go a little bit long this time. He said, different characteristics, first class, second class, and third class devotees. And he put it this way. So the second one, and only two are described here. There are 9 of them. So there's plenty coming up later on in the coming months. Havis spoke first class, second class, and third class devotees defined. He starts from the third class. One who offers prescribed worship with faith to the deity of Lord Vishnu, but has no devotion for Vaishnavas and things related to Vishnu, that person is a materialistic devotee. In other words, this is just the beginning of the beginning. They know the deity of the Lord. They see the deity of the Lord. They worship the deity of the Lord. But they don't care too much to put that type of mindset and heart for relating to devotees too. That person is a materialistic devotee. Now, the intermediate devotee. They show love for the Lord. They have friendship for the Lord's devotees. Mercy for the ignorant, but indifference to the enemies of Vishnu and the Vaishnavas is an intermediate devotee. Now, we could describe that, but that's, I think we'll have to hold off to that because so much here for the intermediate devotee, especially indifference for the enemies of Vishnu. Now, finally, the topmost devotee, one who sees the presence of the Supreme Lord in everything and sees everything within the Lord is the topmost devotee. And Guru Govinda Maharaj has actually preached so much, challenging his disciples. Do you see the Lord in everything? And do you see everything within the Lord? Then how can you develop Krishna Prema? Because a Krishna Prema person sees the presence of the Supreme Lord in everything. Because everything belongs to the Lord. And sees everything within the Lord. That is the topmost devotee. So, Srila Prabhupada, in this, it's going to give purpose as we go on. Srimad Bhagavatam, next week we'll start with the first one, chapter 2, text 1 of 11th canto. Hare Krishna. So we'll stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Thank you for the very nice class.
Krishna's mercy, Guru's mercy.
Oh. Yes, Prabhu Jaya. Yes, Prabhu, it's a very nice topic you've chosen for the next discussion, following Bhagavad Dharma. Prabhu, some people get confused with the inner voice. They think it's a guidance of super soul, and they are illusioned to think that what they're doing, that is Dharma actually, as per guidance of the super soul. So, what is the process for differentiating that? What is their illusory inner voice and what is super soul's guidance?
Very good question bring up. One cannot understand the super soul's guidance right from the beginning. And when one is humble, they will say, I am at the beginning. In other words, True humility will say we're not advancing, or we're just not advancing, but we have a lot to learn, put it that way. We have a lot of room for improvement. So how does that come? From the super soul, and how do we know that it's actually inner guidance that's coming? This is a question you asked. The inner guidance will always be consistent with the instructions of Guru and instructions in Shastra. Will always be. There's no way it won't be. And that's how we know. Therefore, for us, the practical thing is, of course, what bona fide spiritual master tells us to do, because that, you know, is direct coming that we hear. You hear a lecture, and, you know, that's not in the guidance. It's just, that's from a spiritual master without, the Krishna without, to the spiritual master. But the inner guidance, we ourselves have to ask the question. So we've heard this inner voice. Is that consistent with what I know in Shastra? Is that consistent with what Srila Prabhupada has said? Is that consistent with what other senior devotees have said? Srila Prabhupada's disciples who are gurus, and the list goes on. Is that consistent? If it is consistent, then it is in fact from a super soul, and we should abide by that. So that question should come in our minds. Where is this coming from? I've heard the statement, the inner statement, but does that reflect what I know in Krishna consciousness or make sense? Krishna will guide us. The super soul does in fact guide us. But what happens is the guidance will always be consistent with what we have to do from Guru and from Sadhu. And that's how we know. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhu. That clarifies a lot. It's a very nice guiding factor that we can bring to you in practical life.
Yeah. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Yeah. Any other questions, devotees?
And I think, Prabhu, we can stop the recording.
Yes, no problem. Hare Krishna. Then. Oh, Hare Krishna. So it looks like there's one more question. Yes, yeah, except for humble basis is Lord Srila Prabhupada. Go ahead.
Could you go a little bit into the talking about the indifference of seeing the enemies of Vishnu in relation to seeing Krishna and everything? It's kind of confusing as far as, like, do you see Krishna in the enemy, but also, I don't know, it's just like a cloudy area.
Okay, yeah, I understand what you're saying. I had actually decided to hold off on that one and talk about it later on, but since you brought it up as a question, that's fine. We'll say whatever my Gumayaj allows me to bring up. So I am actually scrolling to that point because I want to get exactly what he said to do, and I'm looking for it right now. All right. The indifference. Was that it? Let me just ask you a question to be clear about this. You can put the question another way. Was it the indifference that you were more concerned about? Because the others seem to be quite straightforward, unless you want me to do the whole thing. Come back to this.
Yeah, more so the indifference.
Okay. We are... Okay, so this is the different types of devotees. Okay, now, I'm seeing where it is. So, okay, one who shows love for the Lord. So this is Havis, the second Navigendra. One who shows love for the Lord, friendship for the Lord's devotees, mercy for the ignorant, and indifference for the enemies of Vishnu. And the Vaishnav is an intermediate devotee. That's how he put it. Okay, now... Later on in texts that's coming up, when after Kavi speaks, Havis will explain that in great detail. But short form of this, so they love the Lord, friendship to the Lord's devotees, Mercy for the ignorant, which means, and we'll start there and then in difference to enemies of Vishnu, kind of connect. Mercy for the ignorant, what's that mean? People are saying that the body is the self, and they're acting that way. And so many mistakes are coming, and they find out things are crazy, but they don't know why. They don't know that actually it comes from the fact that they're relating everything to the physical body. Sri Prabhupada has so many lectures about that, including the problems that United Nations are having because they are dealing with things based on the physical body, country, and so on. Anyway, so now, indifference for the enemies of Vishnu. So the question is, enemies of Vishnu, the demons. It's two classes. You either like Vishnu or you don't. You want Vishnu's position, you're an enemy of Vishnu. Why should we show indifference to them? It's like you don't really care about serving the Lord that way. Now, indifference, in this case, they also mean that they are enemies of Vishnu. What should you really feel towards them? Should you like them? Well, two things can happen. You may dislike them because they're enemies of Vishnu. Now, here is a person that's showing mercy for the ignorant. He has a connection. Mercy for the ignorant. Those who don't know. That's those who don't know. And indifference for the enemies are those who don't like Vishnu. To the ignorant people, and then they are enemies. And if you show mercy for the ignorant, and you leave the enemies of Vishnu, then how much help are you giving to the enemies of Vishnu? Shouldn't you work to try to change their mind so that they also can be saved from themselves and their, you know, nonsense? So, an intermediate devotee is one who may have this love for Krishna, which could also improve, friendship to the lost devotees, understanding the ignorant people are ones that need help, therefore they try to help them in as best as they can. But when it comes to enemies of the Vishnu, you go, I don't want to deal with them. They hate Vishnu, that's their problem. Krishna, I mean, Sri Prabhupada is describing through this summary here, the way Habis was saying is that everybody should be helped. Find ways to even help those who are not Krishna conscious. Now, how do we come down to this level? So somebody, you start talking about Krishna. It's this level. You start talking about Krishna. I mean, Sankirtan, trying to give a book. They won't say anything. They will not hear anything. Like the other day, since you were there, actually, in this, I'll bring an example to you. They didn't, this is a holiday, and we were at the corner of Front and Walnut Street, close to, in Harrisburg, downtown Harrisburg. Since other people are listening, we won't get details about it, but you were there yourself. People were trying to distribute books. Some people didn't care. We talked about the Lord. Some of them may well be enemies of Vishnu. They don't care about Krishna. They won't tell you directly. But what did we do? When it came to giving the prasadam, then they were ready to take that. So rather than leave them totally and say, well, we don't care about them. They don't worship Krishna. We try to give them a book and they won't take it. That's their problem. They're going to be stuck here for lifetimes, probably even go to non-human bodies next life or something. You give them prasadam, then even a person that's an enemy of the Lord, but they like to eat. They'll eat something. You give them a snack, they'll eat something. And so, the long way of saying that you can help everybody even if it comes to a point where somebody is inimical, an enemy to God consciousness, it's an enemy to Vishnu, an enemy to God consciousness. You can give them something they like that connects them to the Supreme Personality of Godhead anyway. So then we don't leave anybody out. And so the point that Harvey is making is, if there's somebody that is against Vishnu and won't hear any preaching, but still we don't find a way, especially through prasadam, it's the easiest thing to do, to help them, then we're not at the level of a topmost devotee. We're intermediate. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Okay, thank you.
Hare Krishna. Jai. Jai Shri Prabhupada. Any other question? Yeah, Hare Krishna. Then, go on, Shri
Prabhupada.
I just love one script of the Vajra Kosnay, which is not for me.
Jai. Jai.
Jai. Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thank you, everybody. Hare Krishna. Jai.